So let's talk about Israel's future war. This one has been probably more popular on the internet than almost anything lately, just because of what's going on in Israel. But to fully understand the prophecies in the last 12 last chapters of Ezekiel, you got to put it all in almost a linear time frame, a timeline. It goes straight across. Now, it doesn't happen, one section doesn't happen another. It just overlaps over many years. And some of this stuff goes into the millennium reign of Christ later on. So not all prophecies work like this, that they're linear like this, but the Holy Spirit spoke to Ezekiel that we might understand the times that we live in. Now, God wants us to understand prophecy. He wants us to search out things. There's a scripture in Proverbs that I'm always reminded of. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search out a matter. And I think, you know, God loves a good mystery. And the Bible actually speaks to that and bears out that he loves a good mystery. He puts things in there so we might not just brief go over it, but we would meditate on it, we would think about it, we would put it in our hearts and kind of regurgitate everything into our brain and just over and over again. So he loves a good mystery. In chapter 36, and this is approximate. We know chapter 36, from about 1800 to the present time, God prepared the land of Israel to receive the Jews back into the land. Then we know chapter 37 that we covered last week, that to the early, maybe the 1900s to the present time, especially a high mark of May 14th, 1948, the birth of Israel. We've seen the people's land was prepared, then the people came into the land. Well, chapter 39, or 38 and 39, it's a future war that God predicts he will make a major move in Israel. And the purpose of this war, really, ultimately, is to wake up Israel, because God's going to do, he's going to do Old Testament stuff in this chapter. I mean, stuff that, you know, people say, well, I want to see the, you know, the splitting of the Red Sea. I want to see those things. Well, you know, it's coming. This stuff is coming to us, that he is going to magnify himself beyond what we could ever imagine. Then you get into chapter 40 through 48. It's a temple that will be huge compared to what we know was in Solomon's or Hezekiah's days, any of those days. It's going to be huge, but it's going to be for the thousand year of Jesus mentioned in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. Now, other prophecies like Isaiah 17, the destruction of Damascus, that's coming up, or Psalm 83, that Arab coalition that goes against Israel, that's also on the horizon. And, you know, it's the glory of believers to search out these things. We should never be afraid of them. We should never, you know, just pass over them. You read them, maybe you don't understand them fully, but the next time you go through, you're going to understand them. And then the next time and the next time. So we are to be people of the Bible, and we do not shy away from prophecy or Israel, or any scripture that comes across. That's why we go through the book sequentially. Today, we're going to focus on this coalition of nations that will come from the north with the intent of plundering Israel. That's their side of the coalition. But God's purpose, his side of this event, is to allow the attack that he would magnify himself above and beyond, that the world might know, but that Israel, hey, it's time to wake up. I'm back. I'm here. I'm with you. You are my people. So God's purpose for allowing this attack, that he would wake up Israel spiritually. So we're going to just look at three simple things here. We're going to look at the coalition that will attack Israel. We're going to look at the reasons of their attack. That would be the coalition's reasons. And then we're going to look at Israel's awakening. So first, I want to identify the alliance of nations that come together to attack Israel. I don't know, you guys know Chuck Missler? He's passed away now. He's one of my mentors, really, that I grew up on him. And he's a great source of knowledge. He really did good with prophecy, but he addressed how would God address a modern nation that we might see in the Bible? How would he address it? Well, God goes back to the very source of these nations by addressing them in their founding fathers. So we know that Noah had three sons, Shem, Japheth, and Ham. We know those three. And so he addresses them like, oh, he's the son of Ham, or he's the son of Japheth, or anything like that. Now, Genesis chapter 10 is called the Table of Nations. And it's right, actually, that chapter is right before the Tower of Babel, where all the nations get dispersed. But what happens here is that Table of Nations says, well, Shem had this, Japheth had this. Japheth actually had Magog. We're going to talk about him today. That would be the European communities today. So I'm going to briefly go over this. You can go back and you can get plenty of good stuff. If you get the right people on the internet, you can find out where all of this correlates. But we're going to go through it kind of briefly. But his chapter 10, it's called the Table of Nations, and it's going to describe the lineage of those three sons that we can identify here in chapter 38, but also we can identify it even today because where they settled, like Magog, they settled up in Russia, Turkey, Tubal, Gomer, different ones that we're going to talk about today. They settled, and I'll mention where they settled. And it's interesting because, when you think about it, the borders all change. But people don't, the lineage doesn't change. So God addresses the root of the people so we might identify them later on in where they settled at through history. And this is really easy to trace through history because we have a lot of good sources on that. So the attack comes from the modern nation mentioned in Genesis chapter 10. So who are the players? Now, something to keep in mind, like I said, borders change, but descendants do not. There's this line that goes. They might move a little bit over to the left or the right in Europe or something like that, but the people stay the same. We say that the descendants of Magog to the north, by the way, if you take Jerusalem and you follow it straight to the north, you go right to Moscow. Directly to the north. It's straight up and down. And this coalition is going to come out of the north. They're going to be from the north, but they're going to come out of the north. So this Magog that we're going to talk about today, north is Russia, but also might be the lower breakoff republics of the Soviet Union that all turned, the stands. You know what I'm talking about? You got Afghanistan, you got all the stands in that area. Well, a lot of that is the breakoff of the Soviet Union, too. You got Gomer and Tubal and Meshach. They're basically in Turkey. But they also might go north and a little bit east. That would be encompass other countries. But all of this historical information that we can make a really good judgment on the confederation that's going to attack Israel and come down from the north and want to plunder Israel itself. So look at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, so this is Ezekiel speaking, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog and the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, and prophesy against them. Now forget about the names for a minute because they might be a little confusing. We'll talk more about that. And say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. Now, so the very first part of the prophecy is aimed specifically at a person who the scriptures call Gog. This is a man. This is a person who's the leader of Magog. And if this happened right now, if this was to happen right now, we would say, well, that's Putin. That's Putin. We could say that. Now, it might not be Putin. It might be down the road. We don't know. But if it happened today, God is addressing Putin in this prophecy. Notice the prophecy is against him. God starts right in verse 3, behold, I'm against you, O Gog. And it's interesting in chapter 36, God tells Ezekiel to speak to the land, right? Then he says in chapter 37, he speak to the people or the bones. And then in chapter 38, he tells him to speak to God. I'm against you. And what is the message? The message, I'm against you. And he says, I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed with great company, with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Now, I find it interesting. Now, he's describing what he could not describe today with drones and jets and, you know, tanks and different things. So he's putting it into the vernacular of the day. But I find it interesting, something that recently just crossed my mind. You have all these missile attacks from Iran to Israel. I think it was 200 the first time, 300 the second time. They all failed, with minor exception, they failed. They just didn't get through. They have a pretty good defense that way. So, but this particular attack is more infantry. It's more infantry. It's all about on the ground. And that makes a lot of sense to me. They weren't too successful. They were shooting down the drones, shooting down the missiles. A couple of them get through here and there. But overall, they were handling it. Israel was handling it. Israel right now is testing a laser that can knock small drones out of the air, you know? And that's the speed of light. You could hit that, you could hit a lot of them all at once very quickly. So, but to me, if I was Iran or if I was Russia, I'd be thinking, well, they've got a good missile defense. They got a good air force. Why don't we just come in on the ground? And that's exactly what this is speaking about. It's talking about them coming in as infantry with, you know, back then it would have been the horses. Nowadays it's tanks. Bradley vehicles that they use, all those different kind of modern warfare. But also, you have to take into consideration that Ezekiel's message, it's explaining the warfare to the future using their terms. Because we know all through this that it'll all of a sudden it'll pop up, this is going to happen in the latter days, in the latter days. So, but you have all this, you're trying to explain something to a future generation. Now, chapter 39, we'll see next week that you're going to see some eerily similar to nuclear or chemical exchange that probably couldn't be explained in those days, but you'll see it next week. So here's the other part of the coalition. Persia, you know that is, right? That's Iran. That's Iran today. Ethiopia, which could be a couple of the Eastern African nations. Persia, Libya is a little bit. Now, all of these here, Ethiopia is, with probably the exception here, is that they're very aligned with Russia right now, Russia and Iran. Then he says Gomer and all the troops, that is Gomer and all his troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and his troops, many people are with you. So it's going to be a huge army. So you have Russia, you have Iran, you have Ethiopia, or it could be Sudan, and that is being overrun by Muslims right now. Libya, but you could also be in the broader North African Islamic countries, and then also Turkey. Now Turkey, for a long time, was really good friends with Israel. Israel was building drones for them. And then something snapped over the years, and now Turkey is against Israel. And a lot of people thought, wow, that can never be. They're good friends. A lot of the Jewish people would use Turkey for vacations. They would go there. There was a lot of good things to see. And now it's kind of restricted in that way. But all except Russia, when you look at this, they're all Muslim nations, all except Russia. Now, all lower Russia, there's a lot of Islamic there. But you have seen over and over in the news, what? We're going to push Israel what? Into the sea. We're going to push Israel through the sea. That's Iran's kind of mantra at this point. We're going to push them in the sea. And then a few years ago, Israel and Turkey, like I said, they were friends. They were exchanging. They had a high trade market. They mixed technologies. Israel was building drones for Turkey. They did military maneuvers. Turkey is also a NATO a part of NATO itself. So you have this alliance, a unique confederation that has never been assembled before, but right now and today. What is Iran's relationship with Russia? Well, they're selling them missiles and drones right now for Ukraine, if you know that. They're tight now. So you never had this before. In all of history, you've never had this confederation come together. But you know the word of God, it speaks and it's true. It speaks and, you know, God predicts in the future. He knows all this stuff. And whatever he says here, he speaks to the bones, he speaks to the land, he speaks to Gog and all this, that it's going to come to pass. So he says in verse 7, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. Remember, he's speaking to this Gog. So after many days, you will be visited. Listen to this. In the latter years, you will come into the land of those bought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which has long been desolate. They were brought back out of the nations that we talked about at last week, and now all of them dwell safely. Now, it mentioned the latter days. This is going to happen in the latter days. And it doesn't hardly ever say that anywhere in the Bible, but it, very specific, a few times they're going to mention the latter. This is going to happen in the latter days. And the latter days just simply means the latter days, the latter end of time. So this will happen. Now, it's a time where Israel has been, what, regathered and brought back from the sword. They were gathered, you know, especially from Germany in, you know, 1945 and 46. They came back into the land. And they, you know, 6 million Jews were killed. A time when the Jews are brought out of the nations, not, you know, it's kind of interesting because they're going to be brought out of Babylon. Just Babylon. Here, we're talking about all the nations of the world, and we know that the Jews are being brought back from every nation. I think New York, I think the United States has almost an equal amount of Jews here than they do have in Israel right now. Israel might have a little bit more now. So it's about 7 million, probably 15 million Jews in the world today, somewhere around there. A time where the Jews are brought out of the nations. But it also mentions something interesting that, and this is one of the reasons we don't believe this is going to happen right on the spot. Something has to happen first. He says, it also mentions that Israel dwells safely in the land. They're not safe right now. They're not safe at all. Matter of fact, they're, you know, they just got over being missiled to death from Hamas, and now they're being missiled to death from Hezbollah. So they're not safely in the land. Matter of fact, all of northern Israel had to clear out because they were shooting missiles. They were, all the missiles from Hezbollah and from up in Lebanon was hitting in the upper northern communities of Israel. So they retreated. They took all those people out of there and they moved them down south. So that has to happen. They have to dwell safely in the land. The recent push into Lebanon, I think, now this is interesting. You can always look at these things on the good side or the bad side. The good side is that, okay, Hezbollah is bombing the northern communities. They have to retreat, and then Israel all of a sudden decides in a military conference, look, our next job is to bring our people back safely into the land. That's interesting. And so if you get rid of Hezbollah, and they are, you get rid of Hamas, which they pretty much have so far, they would have a land that they could dwell safely in, that there would be no rockets being shot at them. So that has to happen first. That has to happen before this war happens. So Israel can settle, if they can settle Gaza and Hezbollah, that time of peace will set up this war, because Magog, or Russia, and this confederation is going to come into the land when they are in safety. They said no walls, just safely they're doing their business. So it's interesting. It says in verse 9, you will ascend coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and all your troops and many people with you. So it's a big confederation of people. Israel does not have a huge people army. I mean, they got a couple hundred thousand, maybe 250,000, you know, maybe a half a million if you, you know, call up the older folks and all that stuff. And you could probably muster up a half a million. But, you know, you're talking about some of these nations have millions and millions of people. Iran has, I think, 40 million people. Just, you know, so they can overwhelm them. So what we're doing is, right now, we're identifying Gog and Company. That's Russia, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan, Iran, Turkey, could be more. It's a latter days war. It's something that hasn't happened yet. The battle is instigated by God. Remember, he says, I'm going to put a hook in you, and I'm going to pull you back into the land. So God is instigating this, and we're going to find out why in the next little section. The battle is instigated by God, and it's instigated in a time of peace where Israel is in relative peace, and they haven't been since they got in the land. So that's coming. Something's going to happen. And maybe this very push that's happening right now with Israel to defeat their at least surrounding enemies. You know, you've got Egypt, they're somewhat friendly to. Jordan, they're somewhat friendly to. Iraq, not so good. Syria, not so good. Lebanon, not so good. But if they settle this, it could be a time of peace that this could happen. So that's the coalition, those people. The reason for the attack, well, we want to look at the state of Israel, their economy. And why do they attack? It says, thus saith the Lord, we're in verse 10, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Now, he could be just addressing the coalition, or he could be addressing Gog, the leader of Magog. Something's going to pop up in your mind and you're going to make this evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of what? Unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars or gates. Right now, they've got walls separating them from the Palestinians. They got, you know, cyclone fences that go for miles. But during this time, all this stuff is going to be loosened, and they're going to be a peaceful people who dwell safely. So to take plunder, that's what the thought that came into Gog or Magog's mind, to take plunder and to make booty, or take booty. All right, you guys, stretch. I don't know who said that now. Janine. Yeah. Let me define booty as loot, okay? Just to make sure we know. On that day, let me start again. We'll cut that out of the study, you guys. No, thus saith the Lord, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And this is the reason, to take plunder, to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations. So Israel right now is gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Now, the purpose of the attack is the stuff. That's what it is. It's the stuff. It's their Israel's a very rich nation by its size. It's no bigger than New Jersey, but it's got one of the, I think they, almost three-quarters of $1 trillion in their GPS, or the GPD, right? Yeah, you guys get it. Now, Israel has a ton of technology industries, right? Medicine is a really big thing. I mean, they have just an incredible medicine. They're one of the leaders in the world as far as agriculture. For that small little area, they produce so much more than most countries. But just recently, they discovered a lot of oil, or not oil, but natural gas. They have these different fields about 80 miles off the coast of Israel. One of them is called the Leviathan Basin. That has more gas than what natural gas that had than the state of Alaska right now. That's a big amount, and Alaska's pretty productive. So there's some things, and there's some things with this too. Russia, you know, Israel wants to open up their natural gas market and pump it into Europe. That's direct competition with Russia. Russia is the big producer. They have the most natural gas in the world. So we have a lot too, but they don't want competition into Europe. So they always complained, Israel always complained that they got the short end of the stick with oil, but with natural gas, they've just been finding these huge basins of natural gas. So they don't have any real oil reservoirs in Israel, and actually they've been, over the years, with this natural gas, they've been converting everything to natural gas. They're heating all the different things, their industry, their, you know, instead of oil. So this makes Israel very self-sufficient. Right now, they are self-sufficient and a major exporter. They export to Jordan, they export to Egypt, big amounts of natural gas. And they, like I said, they say that the natural gas deposits is pretty much equal or above that of what Alaska is, to the discovery in Alaska to date, at least. So here's some other things. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, all their young lions will say to you, and now remember, who's he speaking to? He's speaking to Gog or Magog, or to the coalition. Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Now, Sheba and Dedan are, right now, they're Saudi Arabia and Yemen. And so they seem to be out of this particular war. They seem to be out of the war. The merchants of Tarshish is believed to be Spain or possibly England. That's kind of a guesswork there. All the young lions, as it were, Britain would, and then you could, the young lions, it would be Britain, would be, could be the United States, could be Australia, could be New Zealand, some of the British nations that are the nations that sprung out of Britain itself. But these seem to be the Sheba, Dedan, and Tarshish, the merchants of Tarshish, and young lions, all they seem to be bystanders in the war. They're just looking, are you coming in? Doesn't look like anybody's helping them either. Doesn't look like anybody's helping them. Then he goes on to say, therefore, son of man, prophesy to Gog, thus saith the Lord, on the day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north. Far north is Russia. You and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. So it's all about stuff. So the reason they attack Israel is for the stuff, is for the to gain. And they're going to come out of the north. And then it says, notice in verse 15, it says, out of the far north, out of the very far north. And the only thing, if you go far north, you got Russia. Russia's in the far north. So, but here's the reason that God allows this attack to happen in verse 16. You will come against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that it will bring you against my land. Notice it's God that is bringing this coalition against Israel. It's God that allows it. We talked about that yesterday at the men's ministry, is that, you know, is everything that happened to us, is it allowed by God? We were talking about how Job was attacked by Satan, but only after the permission that God allowed him to. And so the same situation, this is happening. He says, it will be in the latter days, I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me. And then and when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. So that is one of the reasons, is that this is going to be an Old Testament event. This is going to be, you know, the prophets of Baal in Elijah's days, fire coming down from heaven. This is going to be Moses splitting the Red Sea. This is going to be Moses with the 10 plagues. This is Old Testament stuff. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, you read about and you say, wow, you know, how amazing. This is going to happen in these days, though. So the attack is going to gain worldwide testimony of God and his protection. Everybody's going to see it, and everybody's going to go get a Bible, and they're going to read this, and they're going to say, wow, this is happening right now. This is happening as I read this, it's happening. And so it's going to be, and it's so well known today, it's so publicized. If you go onto the internet and you look up Magog and Gog, chapter 38, 39, Ezekiel, there's plenty of studies on there, some good, some not so good, but it's going to be broadcast throughout the world, and it's going to be a testimony that God is with his people Israel. God is with his people Israel. Next week we'll see what happens to this army. So this is going to be about Israel's awakening. I believe that there is right now a awakening and a stirring in Israel. There is a lot more, you might say, religious activity going on in Israel. If you've seen anything of the Yom Kippur events there by the wall, there thousands of people are showing up. They just ended that, I think, this morning. It would be in our time this morning. But it's starting to stir the hearts of the people. And this is going to wake them up, though. This is going to actually wake them out of their sleep, and they're going to know that the Lord God is there. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 17, are you he who I have spoken of former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? That was a question, kind of a rhetorical question. And it will come to pass that at the same time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Now, this is Old Testament stuff. This is where God begins to judge. So the method of defeat, see, he says this, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. Not to be confused with the great earthquakes in Ezekiel or in Revelation. This is just in Israel. This is Israel proper. I think it's going to be felt without the world itself, but it's primarily in Israel. But listen, it says, so that the fish of the seas, that would be the Mediterranean, the Sea of Galilee, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the fields, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. So this is an amazing event, this earthquake. I wonder at this point if those different Islamic places on the Temple Mount are going to cave in at that point. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. That's just my thinking. He says, so you're going to see an earthquake, a big earthquake, and it's going to knock some of the mountains flat. So the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. So that's, I will call for a sword against Gog throughout my mountain, says the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. So you're going to have Libyans against Russians, Russians against Persians. You're going to, we've seen this in the Old Testament where, you know, the Israel is confounded. How are they going to do it? And all of a sudden, God turns these armies against each other. Somehow, maybe in the confusion of the earthquake, before all the dust settles, that everybody starts shooting at each other. But every man's sword will be against his brother. So that coalition is going to cave in internally. They're going to destroy each other. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. That's not all. Pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, his troops, and the many people who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstones. And we really don't know what that means. We don't know what that fire and brimstone is. Is it nuclear? Is it God himself? You know, when you think about Sodom and Gomorrah, they're pretty sure it was a meteor that passed over Sodom and Gomorrah and then just burned up everything. So, and there's a lot of sulfur in that area now from that meteor. So we don't know exactly how it's going to be, but flooding rain, great hailstone. I mean, can you imagine you're an army about to attack? You've entered into Israel on the northern mountains of Israel, and all of a sudden you have this huge earthquake, and then you have this flooding rain. And we're talking about rain that, you know, we know what happened in North Carolina, that hurricane, how it just devastated a whole area. But this flooding rain, and then great hailstones. What is great? Huge hailstones somehow raining down on these troops. Fire and then brimstone. And listen to this. God's revelation to the world and to Israel that, thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. I am the Lord. So Israel's awakening begins with the battle of Magog and Gog. And I think this is the very thing being prophesied for 2,500 years. It comes to pass. All of these things happen, the earthquake, the blood, the violence, the pestilence, the flooding rain. You know, all of these things happen at one time. And people are going to read about this, and they're going to see it on the internet. They're going to see it on their texts and their videos and, you know, YouTube and everything else, and they're going to know that this was written 2,500 years ago and that God is performing it in their very eyes. So Israel's awakening begins at that. We'll see that even more next week with the battle of Magog and Gog. So we have looked at and we've talked about this Magog war that's going to happen. We know that peace, that what you want to look for next is you want to see peace in the land. Everything begins to settle down. You have what's settling down is that there's no more rockets being, you know, Iran has calmed down, Syria has calmed down, Lebanon has calmed down, Hamas is nothing, maybe Hezbollah is nothing, but it's going to calm down. That's what you're going to look at. But you're going to see, though, during that period of time, that coalition is going to attack Israel. And we know the reason for the attack is to grab the cash and run. You know, that's what they want. But it's going to be for Israel's awakening. So when you get into chapter 39, we're going to do that next week. We're going to understand that God begins to deal with Israel upon this event. He begins to deal with them once again. He's dealing with them now, but what I'm saying is that there's a more direct correlation between this event and knowing that God has saved Israel, because this huge army, like a cloud, it says, that comes down and God... what did Israel do? Where's the IDF? They don't do anything, right? They do not do anything. The very thing that happens is that God himself comes to the rescue. He comes to the rescue, to the battle, and those that are clearly identified in the scriptures 2,500 years ago. He comes to the rescue very supernaturally, an earthquake. He turns the army against himself, flooding rain, hailstones, you know, Israel's awakening begins with the Battle of Magog. How close are we? I don't know. You know, I'm not a date setter. But I would say we're close because we have seen that coalition form together as far as relationships with each other. You know, Israel, or with Russia being close to all the nations that we're talking about right now. Turkey, they're close with Iran. We are just waiting for his return. That's what we're doing. We're waiting for his return. And God has allowed us to see what he's about to do in the Middle East. Are we going to be here? I don't know. I really don't know if we're going to be here now. We could be raptured before this. This could be before the rapture. It could be after the rapture. We don't know exactly. There's no timeline for that. But God has allowed us to see what he's about to do in the Middle East. So next week, we're going to see maybe a nuclear exchange or chemical warfare that puts it more into the modern. Where is America in all this? That always scared me. That always scared me because America, as far as I can see, there's only maybe one or two places in all the Bible that I see America as being possibly mentioned. I don't know. Maybe we collapsed militarily. Maybe there was a war. I don't know. What, you know, we have to be ready for all of that. So where are we in all this? Well, if you know the Lord, you're safely in his arms, right? You're safely in his arms. No matter what, Doesn't matter. And no matter what befalls the world, we are in the Father's hands, right? And nobody can take us out of his hand. Safe and sound. Now, if you know the Lord, right? That's a good thing to know, to know the Lord. So next week, chapter 39, we're going to see part two of this war of Magog and Gog. So you guys want to stand? We'll...